Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So we're going to hear different things from the other elders. One thing I wanted to focus on is, in these couple of minutes, is how we can pray for our culture and really for the world right now. And I just, we think about the plagues in Egypt that we went through in Exodus, and some responded to the plagues with faith, and some hardened their hearts to those moments of plague and did not repent and turn to the Lord. But I think this is an amazing opportunity for the world to get a sense of the fact that humanity does not have it all figured out. We have not mastered the world. We are not in control. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. Despite our technology and our advancements that we're thankful for, we don't know the future. And I think this moment helps us to feel that more than any moment in my memory. And let's pray that the Lord humbles all of us. We ourselves, and then the whole globe, that we would feel we are not in control. We don't have it all figured out. That our life really is a mist, and that at any moment it could end. And that those things would give the world a sense of humility before the Lord, and that we would all, as a culture, as all the human race, that we would be humbled, that we would turn from our sin, that we would put our faith in Jesus, and that we would see that the gospel is the only answer to the problems of sin in the world. And turn with me to the left, to John chapter 12, just for a moment. I can't help reading part of this passage. John chapter 12. And as I shared in a message a couple of weeks ago, I also want us to think about mortality. I know that's not a topic people like to think about, but with something like this going on, that we would think seriously about eternity and about mortality, and that that would create in the culture a sense of the need that we have for Jesus, for forgiveness of sins, and for a right relationship with God. And in the midst of all this uncertainty, there are many things that we do know with great certainty. And one of them is what Jesus did for us. But because this is Palm Sunday, I just wanted to read a few verses from that passage, John chapter 12. And look with me at verse 12. I'm going to read an extended portion here, and then I'll pass on to Jerry. John 12, 12. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast, that feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, You see, that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. Some of these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. So I'll stop there. And just the last thing I wanted to say is the fact that in the midst of this uncertainty, what we know with absolute certainty is that Jesus came into the world. He went to his own death in our place for our sins. And when we turn and trust him, we can have that secure relationship with God. So if there's ever a time for us to hold the gospel out to our world right now, to those we know, to friends and family members who might be worried or fearful in this time, we have a certain hope that Jesus faced death and opened a way for us to be made right with him. So this is a great time for us to be confident, for us to have a joy in the gospel. And while we, of course, show wisdom towards all the precautions that are going on, we show that we have a hope that goes beyond this world and what the world hopes in. So with that, I'm going to pass it over to Jerry.
Thanks, Mark. And thank you for setting this up for us. I think this is exactly what 1 Corinthians 15 says, just emphasizing what you said. And I like to read verse 50 to verse 58, last nine verses of 1 Corinthians 15. And it says, I tell you this, brothers, I want to focus in on mostly 54 to 58. But I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. What an extraordinary time where we constantly are being reminded of our mortality. And tragically, I think we see the death tolls rising every day. And you know what? We're many and most of them, I'm afraid, have never known our Savior, and they will never get another chance. But some do know Jesus, and we do. And those that have known the Lord and have died are finally home with a capital H. So we can't really expect, I don't think, CNN or the Georgia Health Department to call it went to heaven or hell toll, although that would probably be far more accurate. But, you know, we see things from an earthly perspective more often, and that's why we see it as the end rather than the beginning of eternity. But not Paul. He didn't see it like that. He saw it from an eternal perspective, and maybe even more so, as in 2 Corinthians 12, God took him to heaven for a season. But I think this passage helps us, because look what happens. The perishable, in verse 54, whose citizenship was never here anyway. Remember, our citizenship's in heaven. We eagerly await our Savior from there. So we've just been camping down here anyway. They become imperishable. They were swallowed up in victory. I love that, verse 54. Death is swallowed up in victory, swallowed up by life, as he says in 2 Corinthians 5. And so that was none of our doing. Scott's going to help us with this in a second. But look at verse 57. Well, 56, the sting of death is sin and the power of sin is the law. But in 57, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There was no hope other than Christ here. But with Christ, there is hope. There is an abundant life now and an eternal life forever. So victory only and always comes through Jesus. And then 1558 closes us with three. I love these three commands. And, you know, especially in this month when we're sort of cooped up at home, I think these are great to remember and to apply to our life. And then he follows it with a really motivating promise. But look at verse 50. Brothers, be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We are storing up treasures in heaven by being steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord as we live out these just incredible days. But these are not inspired like Paul's. If you had the 10 greatest quotes on death by Paul, those would be phenomenal. But these were from Spurgeon. And I wanted to close with this. They're not inspired, but I think they're pretty biblical. And these are 10 quotes from Spurgeon about being swallowed up by life. Number one, to be prepared to die is to be prepared to live. You might have heard it before. We're not ready to live until we're ready to die. Number two, it is the very joy of this earthly life to think that it will come to an end. I love that. Number three, the best moment of a Christian's life is his last one, because it is the one that is nearest heaven. The best moment of a Christian's life is his last one, because it is the one that is nearest heaven. It only gets better for us from this, because we are nearing heaven at a great speed. Number four, the only people for whom I have felt any envy have been the dying members of this very church. Spurgeon envied only the dying members of this church. Number five, if I do not think of death, yet death will think of me. So no escaping death. Number six, it is not a loss to die. It is a lasting, perpetual gain. Number seven, let us learn to hold loosely our dearest friends. Let us love them, but let us always learn to love them as dying things. Number eight, it's a great thing to see a man dying full of life. Number nine, he who learns to die daily while he lives will find it no difficulty to breathe out his soul for the last time. Let me read that one more time. He who learns to die daily while he lives will find it no difficulty to breathe out his soul for the last time. And then number 10, all the glory of midday are eclipsed by the marvels of sunset. Let me read 58 one more time. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the Lord, in the Lord, your neighbor, your labor is not in vain. So, Scott, help us now, if you would, with the gospel, because that certainly is through Jesus in the gospel the only way to have this kind of an eternal perspective.
Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 15 still. So if you have your Bibles there, 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to look at the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians 15. So please hear this public reading of God's word, starting in verse 1 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. So really, I just have one main point to get across in my brief few minutes with you. And here's my one main point. Whether we are facing a pandemic or not, whether we are socially isolated or not, whether we are going through immense suffering or not, whether we're just having a regular old day, I think we need to remember these words from George Mueller, that godly Christian man. Most of you know this quote, but George Mueller said, "The first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day is to have my soul happy in the Lord." So whether we're facing a pandemic or not, our first great primary importance is for us to have our souls happy in the Lord. Well, how do we do that? Well, one of the ways we do that, certainly one of the primary ways, is we remember the gospel. We keep the gospel central. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, let's look again, verses 3 and 4. Paul says, "For I delivered to you," in verse 3, "as of first importance what I also received." So what is first importance for the Apostle Paul? He tells us what's first importance, middle of verse 3, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. There is the gospel in a nutshell right there in 3 and 4, 1 Corinthians 15. That for Paul is of first importance. So we need to remember the gospel. To get our souls happy in the Lord, we need to remember the gospel. So let me end with this quick story. My dad became the associate pastor of a church called Dorville Presbyterian Church in the early 1980s, and he served there for 9 years. And while he was there, he served under, I think, 3 senior pastors. One of those was a man named Dr. Jack Heinsohn. Dr. Jack Heinsohn grew up in the circus, and he had various roles in the circus. But one of the things he did in the circus was he was part of the high flying trapeze act. So he was the one that would be flying through the air, and he would be caught by his catcher. And he was working with his catcher this day, practicing. They were trying to perfect a triple backflip, where Jack was going to do a triple backflip and be caught by his catcher. His catcher is dangling upside down. You know, his legs are over the bar, hanging down to grab Jack. And they're trying this because it never had been done publicly. And Jack kept trying over and over, and he kept falling short. He kept missing it. He'd fall down to the net. He'd climb back up and try it again and try it again. Finally, he came to his catcher and said, "Okay, we're going to try it one more time. I'm going to try to swing out as hard as I can. I'm going to jump as high as I can. I'm going to make the tightest ball and to try to really land this triple backflip." So he climbed up. He swung out as hard as he could, and he jumped as hard as he could, and he spun in the tightest ball that he could, but he actually went too far. And he's doing this triple backflip through the air, and he collided with his catcher. The back of Jack's head collided with the jaw of his catcher, breaking the catcher's jaw. But the catcher somehow hung on to Jack. He didn't let him go, but his jaw had been broken and a couple of his teeth got knocked out. Jack was knocked unconscious by the force of the impact of this hit. But the catcher couldn't say anything to him because his jaw was broken. He couldn't say, "You know, I'm going to let you down. Wake up, Jack." He couldn't speak at all. So I don't know how long Jack hung there, unconscious, just dangling there. And all of a sudden, Jack finally comes to. He regains his consciousness. And when he came to, there was blood coming down the top of his head, all the way down his face, his warm blood. And he's trying to figure out what's going on. He looks up and he sees what has happened. He sees that his catcher is bleeding profusely, and this blood is coming across his head and down. And he sort of nods to him that he's going to drop him now safely down to the net. And the catcher then drops Jack down. Well, Jack said that ever since that happened, he said, that was a beautiful picture of the gospel. You see, Jesus saves us at great cost to himself. He dies in our place. He sheds his precious blood so that we can be forgiven. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. Or the Apostle Paul says, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. So during this time of social isolation, let's not forget the gospel. Let's remember the gospel, and let's get our souls happy in the Lord every day. We love you guys. We miss you guys. I think Ian now is going to lead us, and maybe Aaron and the rest are going to lead us in our first song together.
Got it. All right. Can y'all hear me? Give me a thumbs up. There we go. So this may be a little different, if you haven't noticed. But I'm going to encourage you to sing if you can sing. If you got roommates, just sing a little louder. Christian people are a singing people. And one of the great ways to show to the world that you have a joy, hope that's eternal, is to sing together. So I'm going to read real quick from Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud crashing. Praise him on Zoom online. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we're going to do some singing. And I can't hear you, but I can see you. So at least if you just move your mouth, I'll think you're joining in. So join with us, if you will.
The power, all the glory, I will. is the ancient of days.
I'll turn it over to you, Alan.
Good morning, everyone. I've already really enjoyed this morning already. You know, COVID-19 has shown us the vulnerability of man. If we'd been talking in January, we'd have said that our scientific community, our medical community, our economy were the greatest in the world. Then along comes COVID-19, and we realize how fragile our health and our economy actually are. And through the chaos of today, I really believe that God's trying to speak to us. You know, Jerry tells us to think eternally. Scott tells us to point to the gospel. And those are two wise men tell us two really important things to do. Heaven will be our home. And I need to reflect on that. Now, I can assure you one thing. The coronavirus is not an issue in heaven right now. Heaven's not surprised by COVID-19. And when those saved by the grace of God, when we enter heaven, we'll be consumed by the God of the universe. We'll look upon the Lord, and our earthly trials will evaporate in his presence. Will be consumed by him. So let's take a moment today. So I'm going to ask you to flip to Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. And as you're flipping there, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 2:9 I really love about heaven. It says, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." Man, that's exciting. So let's look at Revelation, the first four verses of Revelation 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. And they will be his people, and the God himself will be with them as their God.'" And let's look about first four. It's very exciting. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." That's just exciting verses for today. And I also want to think about something. I've heard some people say that, particularly just in general, that the isolation has been difficult on them, and that they, you know, we do miss people, but sometimes in isolation, we have to focus more on our sin and ourselves. And, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can be discouraged by the struggles with my sin. You know, this daily battle with COVID-19 has nothing to do with my struggle with my flesh. I struggled with it before this pandemic occurred. So my flesh sometimes does wage war against me. And if I'm honest, sometimes this can be a little depressing. We get weary from the daily battle. But in the struggle, we must focus on what Scott and Jerry have said. We must turn to Christ. In our hopelessness, we must turn to the gospel. And once again, let's focus on that. We're going to spend eternity with heaven. So Christ died for me. And my biggest pandemic problem is my sin. It's not COVID-19. And so I remember in Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, it says, "He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. And we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." All right, if you don't mind, flip real quick to just the next book over, Jude. That's right before Revelation. I want to read one verse. It's kind of one of my go-to verses sometimes. Jude 24. I think this is a great thing to think about. It kind of combines that heaven perspective and the gospel that Jerry and Mark were talking about. Jude 24. And it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy." Think about it. The regenerated will be presented to God by Christ, blameless and with great joy. Alan McKinnon, a rebel, a sinner, an enemy of God, who is dead as a result of his sin, will encounter the judge and justifier. And based solely on the actions of Christ and due to his unmerited love toward me, which we call grace, this judge and justifier will present me before God with great joy. Ooh, his blood covers me in a tent of grace. So I have some great news today. That verse also tells us that this judge and justifier, Jesus Christ, is able to keep you from stumbling today. This is assurance as we encounter this pandemic. And my prayer is that COVID-19 causes people to look to heaven. I pray this virus causes people desire to seek the Lord. I do want to say one quick thing as I close. You know, I try, as all of us, we kind of keep an eye on the news and what's going on. And I see so much attacking and criticizing. You know, even our little small town paper is filled with critical letters to the editor every week. And many people believe in our society that critical words that put down others maybe in their view is the most important part of speech. And while our country's in this great fight, we even have individuals already wanting to create a commission to investigate instead of maybe rolling up sleeves and helping. And, you know, I think back to Scott's confession he did on encouragement. You know, I think about Hebrews 3:13. It says, but exhort one another every day as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know, I hope that we as a body of Christ, I hope that we're different. And I hope we do what Mark says, that we do encourage others. And we do tell them that we love them. We do pick up the phone or shoot a text. And for all those members of the church that have sent me an email or a text or a phone call, one, you know, Jerry sent me a very kind text this morning, and I appreciated it so much. I love him so much. So here's the thing. We have a lot of people in our church, and I don't want to name them. I'd be scared I'd miss someone, and I'd be mortified by that. But I know we have nurses, we have doctors, we have EMTs, we have people that work in the medical field. And I just want to tell you, thank you. Thank you so much. You're heroes, and what you do in our country, we don't give you enough credit for how you impact others. And I just want to tell you, I thank you so much. We love you. And those in our church that do that, I just want to tell you, I appreciate it. I'm going to turn over to the Ian family for another song. Ian Webster and family.
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, sin for love.
Good morning, North Avenue. I want to share a little bit about the sovereignty of God. I'm going to do that from Isaiah chapter 6 and maybe one or two other places. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Isaiah chapter 6. I remember hearing a while back John Piper talking about how he preached on this one time, and all he did in his sermon was simply unfold the majesty of God. He didn't really have a lot of application because he said sometimes what we need most is to simply behold God in his glory. And so I want to read this text, draw our attention to a few things, and like I said, possibly look at another passage or two. But Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, what's significant about this passage is that King Uzziah, this king who Isaiah gets his vision in the year that this king died, Uzziah had reigned for a very long time. And he was, in comparison to some kings, he was better than most. There were others who were better than he was. But Uzziah was an okay king, and he had reigned, I think, for at least 50 years or more. And so there was an extreme sense of stability that God's people were used to with Uzziah reigning on the throne. And so he died outcast, I think, leprous, fading, failing, his health going. And so the contrast that Isaiah gets in this vision is simply this picture of this earthly sense of stability, this human king, and he's fading, he's failing, and he dies. And in contrast to that, we see God sitting on his throne in absolute, unmatched, unending, untarnished, unfading, unfailing glory. The glory of this human king was done. God's glory shines forever. And it says, "I saw the Lord." Now notice there, it's not the divine name of God. This is more a title that means the sovereign one. So Isaiah has this vision of the sovereign king sitting on his throne. And this is good for us to know, because when all our earthly props for security and stability are taken away, God is not taken away. God is still in control, absolutely in control. It's what we mean by sovereign. God is sovereign. He is absolutely reigning and ruling over everything. And we need to hear that in times of uncertainty, because again, with a pandemic, a virus like what we're going through, experiencing right now, it's a new thing. It's scary. We don't know all what to expect. And we need to take time to take our eyes off of our earthly circumstances and on the things of this earth that give us comfort and strength. And we need to see that our God is in heaven. He is reigning. He is ruling. He is directing all things. Nothing in what we are experiencing somehow took God by surprise, somehow is outside of his power. All of it is underneath his power. All of it is underneath his rule. In fact, these fiery beings, these seraphim who are in his presence, they cry out, and we need to hear what they're saying. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth right now is full of the glory of God. In countless ways, God's glory is seen in the sun that's shining outside right now, and the stars that we will see at night. Looking at the people that we are sharing a room with right now, we bear the image and glory of God more than any other part of his creation, for we're made in his image. And God's world is full of God's glory. In the midst of all that's going on, we need to see that God reigns. He is seated on a throne, and the earth is still full of his glory. And thinking of God's reign, I want to look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, this is John's greeting to the churches, kind of beginning all of Revelation. And it's the sovereignty of God, the glory of God, the reign and the rule of God is not just an Old Testament thing. It's a New Testament truth. God is the same, Old Testament, New Testament. And look at what John says in his greeting to the churches, beginning in verse 4. He says, "John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before the throne." And listen to verse 5. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth." The ruler of kings on earth. What that tells us is that Jesus is in absolute control over everything and every person. Whatever we think of, you know, governments and their efforts, we have to understand that Jesus is the one ultimately directing everything. He said at the end of Matthew in the Great Commission that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. We think of Ephesians 1, that he has been raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of God, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. So we belong to a Savior who is in absolute control, and we are secure in him. Hear everything else that's been said in terms of the gospel and the hope that we have because of Christ. This sovereign Christ over all is the one who loves us, and as John says in Revelation, who freed us from our sins by his blood. So this sovereign supreme Christ is our Christ. He is our Savior. He loves us. He holds us, and he watches over us always. So just be encouraged and take your mind and your heart intentionally to the sovereignty of God and to the sovereignty of Jesus over these things to keep the right perspective. It's something I'm having to preach to myself on pretty much a daily basis. And I encourage you to do that as well and be encouraged and strengthened by who our God is. I'm going to turn it back over to Ian, who's going to lead us in another song.
I have a peace I can't explain, that goes beyond the sorrow.
bitter truth I can't erase. Your love is my tomorrow. Through deepest lows, through highest gains, I have a brighter treasure. The grass will die, the flower fade, for God is mine forever. I have a peace when fears arise and waters roar around me. Through many storms and sleepless nights, a quiet prince surrounds me. I know not what the future holds. I know who holds the future. When all I fear is all that's true, your perfect love is true.
So much, Webster's, for helping us with singing there. As you guys all know, Taylor and Ansley have spent most of the last year on the other side of the planet. With this whole coronavirus situation, you can imagine what that would be like, being that far away from home and with all the uncertainties. And the Lord has safely brought them home. And so I'm going to hand it over to Taylor and Ansley, and they're going to share for a few minutes some of the things the Lord's been doing in their lives.
Hey guys. We are back. And it's really good to see all y'all's faces. I've kind of been like scrolling through here and just being like, who's here? It's been so long since I've seen some of you guys. But just to kind of recap the last 2 weeks of our life, which did not go anything like what we expected. I know some of y'all have been getting the emails. We've been trying to get visas for about a year now, through the school, and there have been lots of meetings and just lots of things that have kind of fallen through. And we were finally kind of getting to the point where, we had this one option and it was going to work, and then this lockdown happened. So Malaysia was locked down on March 18th, and kind of throughout the next week, they kind of progressively got a little stricter with their restrictions, including no travel in and out of the city. They put up roadblocks, and if you were going to the grocery store, you had to be the only one in the car. And just, you can travel for farther than 10 kilometers, stuff like that. And so we were supposed to have our most recent visa run, because our 90-day tourist visa was up this last week, I think. And then this lockdown happened and we were kind of stuck there. So we kind of had all of our hopes kind of riding on one last meeting that could have provided us with a visa. And because of all the restrictions with the lockdown and not being able to get in and out of the city, that meeting was not able to happen. And so we'd been praying for clarity, and that was kind of that moment to say, okay, like, this is what we need to do. And so we got online, like, right after that phone call, and there were only flights for the next 2 days available. So it was, I think that was Monday, and there were only flights available for Tuesday and Wednesday. So we scheduled a flight for Tuesday, and then had to frantically pack up our apartment and our lives, which we had been told we were going to have to just completely vacate the apartment and just leave all of our stuff there. And not really sure, if we were going to be able to get back or any of the furniture that we had, what we were going to do with all that. And then someone came back and said, no, we're just going to move another teacher in there. So that was a huge blessing that we didn't have to just kind of worry about trying to get all of our stuff in storage, because there was no way we could just get rid of it. Because no one was taking anything, no one was traveling, no one was going to come get all of our stuff for us. And so that was a huge blessing, just being able to kind of leave some stuff there for someone else to use. And then when we got to, so we flew from KL to Doha, and our original itinerary was Doha to Boston and Boston to Atlanta. And so we got to Doha, no hiccups, everything went really smoothly, so praise God for that. And we had this, I think it was like a 9-hour layover. And so we're sitting there, and I got an email that our flight from Boston to Atlanta had gotten canceled. And they had been able to reschedule us, but that had already just kind of put me on edge a little bit, just with the way things were going and smaller airlines kind of shutting down flights. And it was on a smaller airline. And so we started getting a little worried that we would get stuck in Boston, with nowhere really to go, and just having to pay for that extra expense of having to deal with where to stay for an indefinite amount of time. And then while we were sitting there, my dad was Googling flights for some reason, and found a direct flight from Doha to Atlanta, and was like, hey, just go ask the guys if they'll just reschedule you guys, if they'll let you kind of rebook this. And so we went back out through security and talked to the guy, and in 5 minutes we had a new ticket. They were pulling our baggage, no extra cost. So super thankful for that and how that worked out. Because also we would have gotten home 10 hours later at 2 a.m. in the morning, or obviously 2 a.m. morning. You know, just huge blessing after blessing, just the smoothest travel experience I have ever had, going from, you know, one side of the world to the other. I was also super stressed about our relationship with some of the families at the school. Just felt a little bit like we were kind of abandoning them. But we were able to kind of have conversations with the two families that we were the closest to in the school, the day we left, and just kind of, I don't know, it was just really encouraging to see that, no, like, we are still like brothers and sisters, and that nothing, no one's holding anything against anyone, just in such crazy times that we all just have to do kind of what we feel like the Lord is leading us to do. And so now we are both at our parents' house, still teaching online, and doing what we can, thankful for technology. I'm becoming very well-versed in Zoom, teaching lessons, you know, so this is becoming pretty normal for me, but, you know, so we're really glad to be back. Really want to see you guys, but, you know, this is what we have for now, so this is nice at least. But I don't know, Taylor, do you have anything to add?
No, that was really good. with all the details, I just wanted to share, our last day, I think the same with most of you guys here with education, our last school day was Friday the 13th. And then we had that whole week of like limbo. Should we stay? Should we go? Cause flights were canceling and everything. And I was reading through Colossians in that week and just being rooted in Christ. And even though like we're not in control, God's in control. And, yeah, so just that our assurance was through there. And it was amazing just being in the airport, and we both were like worried and just talking about it. Our flights kept getting pushed back, like Ansley said. And then I think I messaged the ladies group like to pray. And then a couple hours later, I think Ansley's dad messaged us, go check for the flights. And we did. And it was just like, thank you, Lord, for getting us home. And just that direct flight, that there were seats available, that we didn't have to pay money. And it was just so many little details that I can't even tell you all the other things. Not just that day when we were flying back, but the week before, like having friends move us out. We had enough food because we were trying to decide, do we need to go get food? We had purchased masks in September because the haze was so bad. So traveling back, we were able to wear masks on the plane. I just realized that the other day and wrote it down. And just so many ways how the Lord was faithful to us that week leading up before the decision, and then just getting us here safely. So yeah, we're thankful to be here. It's a crazy time, you know, so yeah.
Taylor and Ansley, thank you so much for reminding us of just God's faithfulness, and thank us and the way you've served him through this last year and through your lives, and been a great blessing to us, for you and for us as a church. Father, we're so thankful as we hear about what you've done through Taylor and Ansley in this last year, and then especially in your faithfulness, and as Greg reminded us, in your sovereignty, choosing to bring them home, and then supplying every need according to your riches and glory in an amazing way, giving them the peace that surpasses all understanding as they were able to trust you through this. We know that's a gift of you. Thank you for the gift of faith that you've given all believers. And Lord, we are so grateful today as we come before you just for your faithfulness. I thank you for your faithfulness of bringing Miss Dorothy to yourself as she celebrates her 90th birthday today. Lord, you have done such a great work in the last year or two in her life so that she has so much to look forward to. As compared to her maybe her 88th birthday, when there was no hope or nothing to look forward to. And so, Father, we're so grateful for that. We thank you for Manuel as he celebrates today as well, giving him and Sarah such great ministry at our church. We know, Lord willing, that you will use them in Iowa in that same way. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to North Avenue. Through this time, thank you for just flooding our souls with great joy and great hope and the faith and perseverance to believe the gospel, to set our mind on things above and not on earthly things, to preach to ourselves daily of your sovereignty, that you are in heaven, that you do as you please, and that we are not in control. We're so thankful for that today. Lord, we commit our church to you. We pray we'd be faithful, even though when we can't see each other, and we long for that day when we will see you face to face, and we will be swallowed up by life. But Lord, we also in this life would look forward to that time when we get together again and are able to worship you together in spirit and in truth. And so we commit our congregation to you now. Keep our minds fixed on Jesus, our hearts fixed on Jesus, and that we would think in a way that brings you great honor. In Jesus' name, amen.